to the book of Isaiah 66. The book of Isaiah 66. Amen. Isaiah 66. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 66 from verse 7. It says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, as soon as Zion travailed, as soon as Zion began to travail, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause the delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Our supporting text is taken from the book of Daniel 11:32, or other text for this morning. Daniel 11:32, the B part, which says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. The people who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do great exploits. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I started sharing last week, or just before I, the title of my message is Get Into the Birth Position, part two of it. Get Into the Birth Position. And this is part two of the message, which I just want to complete this morning. You know, as I declared at the beginning of this month, I said this is a month of birthing by His grace. That, and not just the month, but as a church, I believe that this month marks the beginning of a season of birthing. Amen? I believe that we have entered into a season where the dreams, where the visions, where the ideas, where the ministries that God gave us will begin to see the light of day. I believe strongly that we have entered into a season where the things we have been carrying will start being manifested. And by the grace of God, we have started seeing it. We are one or two people, I mean, someone in this church has started their business this month. Amen? You know, I mean, some people have gone back to school getting ready for the vision they have been carrying. Amen. About two or three people have done that. Amen. That they've been carrying for years, something they've been thinking about for some time. By His grace, so I believe that God will begin to empower us in a different manner. So that the things that we've been thinking about, dreaming about, waiting upon, we shall begin to bring it forth, birth it, deliver it, cause it to come into manifestation. And you see, the seeds of destiny are on our inside. There's a seed of greatness on your inside. Each person under the sound of my voice is carrying a seed of greatness. Each person under the sound of my voice is carrying destiny on their inside. Each person here has the potential to become greater than what they are right now. Each person under the sound of my voice has the potential to affect their generation. And God has put that potential on your inside. And for potential to become reality, it needs to be birthed. And that's why I'm saying we are in that season whereby the potential we have been carrying, the dreams we have been carrying, we need to begin to birth it, bring it forth, make it come to pass in the name of Jesus. Push it out. It is time to birth them and bring them forth. You know, I said last week, I said God wants us to birth what He has given us. There are certain things that God has given each person. And He wants us to birth it. He wants us to write those books. He wants us to wax those CDs. He wants us to start those churches, those ministries. He wants us to start those businesses. You know, the business that idea that you have, He wants you to start it so that it can affect your generation. And this is that season when we need to begin to do it. Hallelujah. And last week, I started sharing about this. I started sharing about getting into the birth position. I shared last week that there are certain things that we need to understand, certain things that would help us as we act upon, as we get closer to the time of delivery. I use the analogy of a pregnant woman that is pregnant, and certain things start to happen as she gets closer to her expected due date. There are certain phases a pregnant woman goes through in order to come to the birth of a child. There are certain phases in pregnancy. There are certain phases in labor. There are certain phases before the child comes through. And I use that analogy to start talking about some of the things that we need to do and some of the things that we need to expect and prepare. And you'll find that a close look at some of these physical phases will help us grasp an understanding of what we need to do in a bid to fulfill God's mandates by birthing the ministries. And just to recap, because I realize that some people may not have been here or some people may not have picked up their notes since last week. So just to quickly recap, I'm not going to go into too much details. One of the first things I said that we need to happen is that we need to increase our capacity. I explained that a pregnant woman does not remain the same. She increases in size. Everything about her increases. Her body increases. The fluids increases. What she eats increases. And the increase in capacity enables you to be able to receive what is coming your way, to be able to handle the things that is coming your way. I explained that in Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 2. The Bible says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not been with child." And then verse 2 says something. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent." That enlargement is an increase in capacity. I explained that if you really want to, if you're serious about birthing the things that God called you to do, you cannot continue doing the things that you have been doing for the past 10 years and just continue on that line. If what you've been reading is our daily bread or open heavens, and that's the only thing you feed on, yes, it's good to start on that, but you cannot remain on that. Amen? So, I explained that we need to increase our capacity, our mental capacity. Read about magazines, read books that relate to the area. Pray more, certain things that need to happen. The second thing I explained is that we need to prepare for birth. In the preparation, you know, a pregnant woman would normally go to antenatal classes or prenatal classes. And they, what's the purpose? They prepare her. They explain to her what to expect during the labor, how to feel the child, and how to birth the child, and things like that. And the same way, you need to prepare for the birth or the delivery of what God has given you. I said that some of the preparation includes research. I used that example that when we came to Milton Keynes, how we prepared before we started the church. I also said that another thing we need to do in our preparation is get the right tools. You cannot try to build a house using the tools of a carpenter or a farmer. If you want to build a house, you need to get the tools that a house builder, a property developer uses. If you get hole and what a farmer uses, you will be wasting your time. Or you'll be there, instead of spending a year building it, you'll be there for the next 10 years trying to build it. And it doesn't mean that God has not told you to do it. God has told you, but you have not acquired the right tools to do it. I then went on to explain that another preparation we need is we need to get the skills, develop those skills. The things, the raw talent we have, we need to develop it into skills. You know, when you don't develop something into skills, then you cannot become proficient in it. And it's very important because it's not just enough to be good at something, you need to develop it into a skill. Amen? And then the last thing I said is that we need to change our disposition as we get nearer. So you change your disposition, you change your thinking and various things. But this morning, I'm just going to continue on, along those lines. And now moving closer to the time of birth, with a pregnant woman, you find out that as she gets closer, something begins to happen. You know, usually pain is associated with birth. As a woman gets closer to the time of delivery, she would begin to experience contractions. And when the contractions begin, it's an indication that the baby is on the way. And usually with those contractions come pain. I mean, some people don't experience it, but a lot of women experience it. Amen? And pain is part of the process. A contraction is defined as a forceful and painful motion of the uterus as part of the childbirth process. Did you get that? It says a forceful and painful. Forceful means that it goes with force. It breaks through certain areas that it has not done before. It begins to push the limits of the body. I don't know if you've ever seen a pregnant woman trying to give birth. The body begins to, you see the stomach and everything is turning around and shaping. And you're thinking, what's happening here? You want to run out if you've never seen it before. But it's pushing the boundaries. It's forcefully saying that I've got to get out of this place. I've got to come to the earth. I've got to see the day of life. And listen to me, just the way it is in the physical, you need to understand that there are certain things that you need to experience when you are about to give birth in the supernatural. There's got to be a level of pain. Hey, if you don't like pain, you are not ready to get the prize that comes with it. A woman that wants to give birth naturally, by the grace of God, God has given medical the doctors some kind of wisdom, so they are able to bring the child out without. But in the days before that, a woman that wants to give birth, that wants a child, must be ready to go through the pain. And pain, when it's happening, sometimes is not enjoyable. But get this, it is part of the process. Somebody say it's part of the process. And as you have physical contractions, there are spiritual contractions that aid the delivery of destinies. There are certain kinds of pain that are associated with the delivery of businesses. If you want to start a business, there are certain kinds of pains that are associated with it. If you want to start a ministry, there are certain kinds of pain. If you want to start what God has given you, you will go through certain kinds of pain. Amen? And those pains, it's not that it's punishment. It is part. It's preparing your body, preparing your spirit to push out those things. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And you know, the worst thing that can happen, which sometimes happens to a lot of people, is that when they begin to experience the pain, they give up. The worst thing that can happen is for the pains to begin and then to give up. Turn to your neighbor and help me tell them, don't give up when pain begins. Because it's painful to go through pain and not bring forth. I don't know if you understand what I mean. But turn with me to Isaiah 26. Let me show you something there. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 26, it talks about a people in verse 17. Are you there? Isaiah 26, verse 17. It says, as a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. What is that talking about? They've gone through the pain, but what did they deliver? Wind, nothing. And you find out that when people begin to give up, what happens is the pain has started. They've gone through a bit of the pain, but because they cannot stand that pain, they give up or they do certain things that cause the child not to come forth, and they would not receive or give out what it's meant to give out. It says we have gone through the pain, but it says what? It says that we have, as it were, brought forth wind. When it says wind, it means the pain was in vain. By the grace of God, that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. It means that they did not accomplish the purpose required at the end of all that. You know, sometimes, but this is by the way, you know, sometimes when people go through challenges, whenever I'm going through a challenge or some whichever way, one of the things I always try to do is learn. Learn what is the lesson or experience. And I've seen a lot of people, they go through a challenge, but they don't learn anything. And that experience, that challenge does not make them better. And the sad thing is that they have not come out wiser. So which means that the whole challenge and challenging situation was to no avail. And that's sort of similar to when you talk about pain, but not bringing forth what you were. Can you imagine a woman going through the labor, hours of labor, and then not bringing forth a child? In my country, they will say juju. Amen. Pain is part of the process. But it's very key that we understand that we don't give up when the pain begins. Let me give you some of the pains that you experience during contraction. One of the pains you will experience is the pain of discipline. You know, discipline is painful. For people that discipline themselves, whereby it's not enforced on you, but you have imposed a discipline upon yourself because you want to achieve certain things. You know it is painful. In order to birth the destiny, we need to be disciplined. Last week I spoke a bit about how discipline relates to us developing the skill. So I'm not going to elaborate too much on it. But what I need us to understand is that for us to birth out what God wants us to, there needs to be a pain of discipline. You know, the pain of discipline comes when you do what you don't feel like doing. But when you do it because you need to do it. Let me explain. Someone that wants to become very proficient in singing. As an example, they believe God has called them to sing and to use the music to reach out to the world and minister to people in nations and in the world. Now, if they want to get to the level that their music will go all over the world, there are certain pains of discipline that is required. One of the pains of discipline might be eating certain things to help their throat or their voice. So I understand that sometimes you eat raw egg. Is that right? Oh, they don't. Oh, it's a myth. Okay, so it's a myth. Okay. Okay, I didn't know that. But there are certain things that they will need to do. For someone that wants to wax a CD to sing, you might stay in the studio all night, practicing, rehearsing again, changing the song, trying it out again. You try it again, it won't work. You try. Some years back in university, I was involved in a group, not singing. I'm sure you can tell that. It was a dancing group. And I was... I remember that we were going to put on a show. Now, after lectures, when other students go to their halls to relax and things, at about 7 o'clock, we'll go to the amphitheater. And sometimes we'll be there till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, practicing, staying there every night until each person got the move that they are meant to do. And sometimes, because one person is not getting it, we are there till about 1, 2 o'clock. Now, that was painful, and then you have to wake up early the next day for your lectures. Now, what was it? We wanted to birth out something, but we had to go through certain painful processes. But we needed to discipline ourselves so that when it comes forth, what will be given out will be excellent. And that's what the pain of discipline does. It's by the time you go through the pain of discipline, what happens is that you either become proficient or you become an expert or you are excellent in what you're doing. Someone that believes God has sent them to start a church, they cannot be sleeping when everybody is sleeping. They need to go through the pain of discipline. Amen? They cannot just live their life anyhow. They have to go through the pain of discipline of reading certain a number of chapters of the Bible every day. Praying so many hours every day or minutes, whatever the case may be. As God leads them. But maintaining consistency. That's the pain of discipline. Whereby you wake up in the morning and you think, oh, I don't feel like today. But because you have decided that, hey, this thing, I need to birth it. What happens? You don't feel like, but it's not based on feeling. It is based on destiny. It's based on purpose. So your purpose is what is driving you, not your feeling. That's the pain of discipline. A gentleman once said something. He said that if you do not go through the pain of discipline now, then you will eventually go through the pain of regret in future. The pain of regret is you are looking back and you are thinking, oh, how I wish. I wish I had done. That's the pain of regret. And you see, a lot of people do not see that the purpose of that pain of discipline. But listen to me. When people are looking at you, and you're performing out there, they don't see the pain of discipline you went through, but they only see the results. They only see the results. Someone that is trying to become a medical doctor, they study for hours. But then when they start earning money, they say, that man is doing well, that woman is doing. Amen? Let me move on quickly. Expect the pain of discipline. Also, expect the pain of contractions. What's the pain of contractions? This is when you are close to what you want, but at the same time, you are not there. You are at a midway point where there is no turning back. Get this. A woman that starts, her body starts contracting, cannot say that, I'm not doing it again. There's no turning back. You are midway. You are not there yet, but it has started. And the interesting thing about the pain of contraction is that you have to follow through on what your body dictates to you. When the woman is going through contraction, she cannot choose the interval or the intensity of the contraction. She's not the one that determines it. She becomes a passenger of her own body. And what happens is she loses control of herself. Isn't that right? For women that have given birth. Or can you, when you're giving birth, can you say that contractions, I want you every 5 minutes? No, okay, make it 10 right now. And reduce the pain a little bit. You cannot. And get this, likewise, during the pain of contractions when you're about to give birth, it will seem as if you are no longer in control of what's happening. It's like you are now a passenger of your own life. Not in control on the way, but somewhere in between. You have not achieved that. You have started, but you cannot turn back. Get this. The Israelites, what I can liken to the pain of contraction for the Israelites is when they got to the Red Sea. And they were at the edge of the Red Sea. And there's no going back. And there's no going forward. It's difficult. It's painful. And what it was now a case that they were not in control of their life. The decision was not up to them. Is this making sense? The decision was no longer up to them. It was now a third party. Well, as God. The decision. So, they were near, but yet so far. That's the pain of contraction. When you have some things will happen around you or will happen to you that will affect you, but you have no control over it. And some of those things will bring with it pain. But you have no control over it. I remember when we were about to start the church. We started praying some months before. And you know, about 4 or 5 people joined us, about a couple and a family that we shared the vision with and things, and a certain gentleman.
And I remember we thought that would be the core group to start the church. I think a week before we started, after we had the last prayer meeting before we started, then one of the gentlemen came to us. He had been living in Milton Keynes before us. We just met him after we moved in. I shared the vision with him. And he said that he would not be joining us. And that was a pain of contraction for me. Because we had gone through the process, we were on the way, but we could not turn back anymore. I don't know if that makes sense. And it was no longer in my control. And an external party was determining what was happening. Amen? And the pain of contraction sometimes can be painful. In fact, not sometimes. Most times. Hallelujah. We thank God that I thank God I'm a man. At least I don't know what contraction means, and I will never know. Until Jesus comes. Amen. Another kind of pain to expect is the pain of disappointment. You know, the pain of disappointment. There will be times that you will experience something called disappointment. And you know, disappointment, if it's not handled carefully, will bring discouragement. Disappointment can bring depression. You know, what does disappointment mean? It means an appointment that you thought was going to happen, but it was this. It was reversed. It was turned around. It did not happen. You know, some things you expected to happen may not happen, or some people will let you down. Now, a lot of people also make a mistake that when they go through disappointments while trying to give birth or to start a project, they give up. Do you know that when the fact that you go through disappointment does not mean that God has not called you to? The fact that you go through disappointment does not mean that you should not try it again. Disappointment does not mean that you reverse and turn around. It means that you go forward again and say, okay, let's try again. Am I making sense? You see, get this. I tried to, it's interesting because time will not permit me, but if you had time, go and do the analysis of Moses' life when he was about to bring the Israelites out of Israel. And you see these kinds of pain that I've been talking about in his life. You see the pain of disappointment. In fact, let's look at it in Exodus 15. Exodus 5, I beg your pardon. And Moses was given a ministry to deliver the children of Israel. And Exodus 5, let me read from verse 5. Verse, because of time, let me jump to verse 20. Okay, verse 15. It says, then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh. That's so Moses had gone to ask Pharaoh the first time. And it says they came and cried out to Pharaoh saying, why are you dealing thus with your servants? So Pharaoh gave them more work to do. There is no straw given to your servants, and they said to us, make brick. And indeed your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle, therefore you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Therefore go now and work, for no straw shall be given you, yet you shall deliver the quota of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel saw that they were in trouble after it was said, you shall not reduce any bricks from your daily quota. Then, that's the children of Israel, as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. Verse 21. And they said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. The people that God called them to come and save was now saying, God, judge you. Now think of the kind of disappointment that Moses would have had that, but God, I'm trying to help these people. And easily, he would have been justified in turning back and saying, let me leave you guys to remain slaves. Let me show, in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 9, notice this. So God spoke to Moses, and then he went to tell the children of Israel. You can read it all in your own time. But verse 6-9, it says, so Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. He He was sent to bring them out to deliver them. He spoke to them that this is what God is saying. What did they say? He said they didn't listen. You can imagine the kind of disappointment that, what's this nonsense? Lord, you should have left me in the wilderness. In fact, I'm going back to the wilderness. And sometimes that's what a lot of us will do. If you have been called to start a project, a ministry, and maybe we're even trying to help some people, and we start and it's like, hey, they are resisting that help. What do we do? Leave them to their own. Another pain of disappointment that Moses went through, if you think of the number of times he went to meet Pharaoh, that Pharaoh will say, yes, I'll let them go. And then he changes his mind. Every time he must have had that pain of disappointment. That, hey, but I thought. And time will not permit me to talk more about the different pains. But pain is part of the process. And then as pain comes, there's something else that is required that you need to understand during this process, especially for pain, to handle the pain. You need power. To handle the pain, you need power, or you can say strength. Because what happens, a lot of people that do not have the strength, they turn back because they cannot stand the pain. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. If you are not ready to, if need be, go through the furnace of fire, then you might not be ready to burst through. During labor, a woman needs strength. You know, when a woman is in labor, she needs strength. She needs strength to push the baby. It's usually a time that she cannot afford to get tired, and she must conserve and maximize her energy. You'll find out that during labor, the midwife will say that, take it easy. When the woman is trying to push when she's not meant to push, we'll say, take it easy. Conserve your strength. And if she begins to say, I'm getting tired, they start encouraging her. Hey, don't get tired. Not yet. And even if the child is not there, they say, you are just about to. The child is coming, so you can. Why? Because she cannot afford to give up or get tired at that point. Get this. You need strength to push and not puff. A lot of times, a lot of people start puffing before they push. And by the time they need to push, the strength has been used up. So they don't have strength to push. And take it in the spiritual angle. You need strength for certain battles that are coming. Now, when I talk about battles, in order to take a territory, you fight. Because somebody is holding on to that territory before you. You cannot think that you want to go to the media waves, as an example. Let's say somebody wants to start a TV station in this place. You cannot think that you'll start a TV station and not face some challenges. People that have magazines, they talk about the kind of challenge and principalities they fight. Amen? So you need to ensure that you conserve your energy. You need energy, you need strength, you need power to push. When she pushes, and the thing about this is that anytime she pushes, there is movement. As you push, there's movement. But get this, but when you puff, nothing happens. You know, the Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 37. Let me show you something there. Isaiah 37 verse 3. Isaiah 37 verse 3. Are you getting something today? Isaiah 37 verse 3. Say something there. It says, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. So it means there's a possibility to come to the time of delivery and not have the strength to bring forth. So that's what they were saying, that, hey, that time of delivery, of coming to birth, is now, but there is no strength. They don't have the strength to birth what they are meant to birth. The Bible states something in Proverbs 24, verse 10. It says that if you faint in the day of adversity, then what? Your strength is small. Let me give you an illustration. Let me explain. Because there's one thing, not having strength, and also your strength can be small. Your strength may not be enough to birth what is needed. Your strength may not be enough, which means you need to get strength. You need to fortify yourself. Get this. Listen to this. In the country where I come from, I remember when I was growing up, I don't know if it still happens, when I was growing up, you find out that sometimes the electric current provided by the electricity providers will be such that you cannot even use it to read your books. And you will not be able to carry the app. In fact, sometimes you can use it to read and put on the light bulb, but it will not carry the appliances you have in the home. So like your air conditioner, it won't carry it. The freezer, the fridge, some things, it won't carry it. And there's a terminology they used to use then, low voltage. Or low current, low voltage. Now, what does that mean? That means that although there is a bit of current coming in, but the strength is not powerful enough for what it's meant to do. And you see, when you come to the time of birth, there's a level of strength that is required. But if you have low current or low voltage, my goodness, you'll just find some appliance, there'll be an imbalance. That's what happens when in the home, there's low current. There's an imbalance. Everything that is working is not working as it should. And when you don't have enough spiritual voltage, enough spiritual current, then you not have the power to carry through what God has called you to. You need physical strength. You need emotional strength. You need spiritual strength. You need emotional strength because sometimes some people will say some things and, hey, if you don't have emotional strength, you just pack your bags and... You need emotional strength. You know, you cannot be emotionally like a child if you want to do certain things for God. If you want to pastor a church, you cannot be emotionally like a child. If you want to start a ministry, business, you might be able to get away with being emotionally like a child, maybe. Because you pay them anyway. So if they misbehave, you say go. Or whatever the case. But you cannot. You need emotional strength. You need physical. You need spiritual. And the Bible gives us an indication of how we can get spiritual strength as an example. In the book of Isaiah 40, you can write it down because of time. 28 to 31. It talks about those that wait upon God. So that's how to get spiritual strength. Waiting on God. It says they shall renew their strength like that of an eagle. Amen? You get physical strength by ensuring that you get enough rest, eating the right diet, and just using some common sense. Emotional strength, God will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. But as you get spiritual strength, your emotions get developed. Last thing, as I close, as the baby comes forth, you need to protect the baby. As you begin to birth your dreams, you know, the birthing of dreams sometimes is in phases. The birthing process of God's destiny, of what God has called us to do, of ministries, of vision, is sometimes in phases. Just like when you give birth to a child, the life of that child is in phases. And it's very important that at that young age, that child is protected. Because if you don't protect it, the enemy will devour. In Revelations 12, the Bible says something. Revelations 12, we'll end with this. Revelations 12, verse 1. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Notice that she was with child. She cried out and gave birth. And then it says, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to do what? To devour her child as soon as it was born. Notice that. It says he was ready, standing in position. He knew that a child of destiny was about to come into the earth. And what was he doing? He was positioned to try to kill that child at the young age before the child grew up to be able to kill it. And that's why anything you're giving birth to, your dreams, your vision, you need to protect it as you're giving the birth. Even while it's being conceived in the womb, you need to protect it. There's a scripture that Minister Yomi read earlier when we were praying in the book of Exodus. It talks about the midwives, the Israelites, and that they said that if they're giving birth, that the midwives should kill the children. But if it's a son, kill it. But if it's a girl, leave the child. So the enemy was positioned. If you look at the life of Jesus, when Herod heard about Jesus, what did he do? He went after Jesus. Anything that is a thing of destiny that God has proclaimed, that will bring glory to God, you can be certain that it will face attack from God, from the enemy. It will, and sometimes, you see, it is only an irresponsible parent that will give birth and leave that child. But there needs to be a level of protection around what God has called you to do. Now, protecting it implies choosing the right people that you talk about it with. When Joseph started talking about his dreams, what happened? They tried to kill that dream. It wasn't Joseph they were after. They were after the dream, the destiny. And when you carry greatness on your inside, you can be certain that it will face persecution, it will face attack. But you need to protect it. Let's rise up and pray.